Eisner insisted. I can't take him anymore. He went into a long recitation of Katzenberg's faults. Though used to Eisner's complaints about Katzenberg, Ovitz was surprised, given the extraordinary success of animation. I don't think you should, Ovitz said. Why rock the boat? But Eisner persisted. You've got to find me someone, he said. Ovitz thought the impulse would pass once Eisner vented his feelings, but Eisner called every day for a week. Finally, Ovitz gave in. Okay, I've got someone for you. Joe Roth. Roth, then the head of the Fox studio, where he'd been recruited by Diller, was leaving to start his own production company, and Ovitz was his agent. In his mid-40s, Roth had rugged good looks, modishly long hair, and was affable and charming, popular with directors and actors. He'd had a mixed record as a producer, but also some big hits, notably Home Alone. Columbia Pictures was also recruiting him for a production deal. Ovitz suggested that Eisner keep Katzenberg and bring Roth in as an independent producer working for Disney. If he decided he had to get rid of Katzenberg, Roth would be available. And in the meantime, Eisner could see if he got along with Roth. Eisner immediately called Katzenberg and told him to work out a deal with Roth's production company, Caravan Pictures. Incredibly, given his conversation with Ovitz, Eisner told Katzenberg that he saw Roth as someone who could fill in for Katzenberg when it was time for Katzenberg to move up in the company. Initially, Roth favored the Columbia deal, but Ovitz had structured the Disney deal so that if Eisner decided to replace Katzenberg with Roth, Disney would have to buy out his company. Let me assure you, Ovitz told Roth and his then-wife, at some point, you're going to be bought out. When Eisner, Katzenberg, Ovitz, and Roth had lunch to close the deal, Roth took Katzenberg aside and warned him, I've got the feeling they want to park me at your place, and I'm not sure that's good for you. But Katzenberg told Roth that hiring him had been his idea. Geffen, too, tried to warn Katzenberg that Roth was his replacement. Though Katzenberg usually heeded his friend's advice, this time he disagreed, pointing out that he'd be number two at the company in the event Wells stepped aside, and Roth would then report to him. However much Eisner may have wanted Katzenberg to believe this, it appears to be patently false. Eisner had a habit of writing letters to his lawyer, Irwin Russell, who was also on the Disney board. The letters have the air of unguarded candor, as in this passage describing his feelings at the time about Katzenberg. Over the last 2 years, 1992 to 93, Frank and I have become more and more frustrated with how Jeffrey conducts business, and especially with his personal agenda. He has displayed more and more a desire to keep us out of the process, and this has made me particularly unhappy. I never really know where he is or what he is doing. And, of course, our dismal performance in live-action features is what got Frank's attention. We met on several occasions and discussed with Jeffrey our unhappiness with how it was going. Yet it's not surprising that Katzenberg felt secure in his job and even anticipated promotion. Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin were two of the most successful animated films ever produced and would be generating millions in revenue for the foreseeable future. In 1992, Disney became the first studio to earn over $500 million in a single year. The studio was so profitable that even